is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, will be here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. Right here on ESPN 97.5. Tough. I don't remember, and AJ even talked about it. He said, this is really a unique game. That you've got a two-hitter. Not only a two-hitter, but
dominant.
He was perfect.
It was a dominant two-hitter.
He was perfect outside of those two hits. Not one base runner. Nothing. And another double-digit strikeout game. Seventh straight. In the last 100 years.
We saw him go the distance. When does happen?
The first time this year?
First time all year.
Yeah.
It's happened, yeah.
And it's a loss.
First time for the Astros all year.
Yeah. And it's a loss.
His old friend came to visit. And it's a friend that I don't like. When they knock on the door, it's like Jehovah's Witness. Like, don't answer, Justin. It's just home runs. Don't answer.
Welcome.
It's a solo home run. Don't answer, Justin.
You know what he said?
What?
Welcome to baseball in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is convinced the baseball is juiced, except for all the other guys that, were out.
Well, there are a lot of people. Well, baseball has mentioned that they have made a change to the baseball, that the cork, the pill is more centered and blah, blah, blah. They've talked about the technical stuff. But there's a school of thought that the baseball has been altered. It's just for more consistency, but that the more consistency has led to more home runs. I don't know.
So maybe this is the explanation. Maybe all those guys that are hitting homers off them are taking gas station pills that are making them more amorous.
So Major League Baseball is now looking at, apparently, or they're warning that pills that are taken for sexual performance, enhancement, performance, whatever, there is a potential that they contain PEDs. Now, what was your first sign that that was the case? The fact that it enhances performance in the bedroom might be a sign that whatever it's got going in there could help you out somewhere else.
Well, it's performance enhancing.
It's
the definition.
It's saying it right there, like, I got you. Now, I got some problems with this. Here's my first problem. If you are a major league player and you're under the age of 40, and you're under the age of the late 30s, I mean, to me, if you're in your 20s, you should get a one-year ban for using this because that's just not fair. If you can't, then too bad. You've already got all the advantages. You're in your 20s with money. Your physique is, you're in your best shape. You shouldn't be able to use anything ever.
You shouldn't really. Well, you know what they say, though? The guys in their 20s, I mean, I've been doing these, and the studies show that even guys in their 20s need it sometimes.
No, that's too bad. You just have to wait.
Well, no. They don't want to wait.
Age limit.
So what should be the legal age? 45? 40? 45?
I don't know what it should be. Probably in their 30s. Probably somewhere like around 35-ish should be able to use.
Well, then Tom Brady, what if he gets busted then? Okay. You want Tom Brady busted?
Well, we're just talking about baseball for a minute.
Well, how about football, too? That's some performance enhancing, too?
I was going to say Tom Brady will never get busted, but Tom Brady gets busted. He got busted.
He got busted. Oh, are you kidding me? They love busting Tom Brady.
Yeah, so, I don't feel like a 20-year-old athlete should be allowed to take that. It's like, that's just hitting with two bats. Well,
that's the thing, though. A lot of times it's for sport.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's bull crap. You don't kill what you're not going to eat.
Right.
You don't hunt for the rhino horn or whatever. You know what I mean?
I had a buddy.
It's just not fair.
I had a buddy who told me, he said, I don't need that stuff except for, when I'm at home. Road games, I'm fine. So
hold on, Gladys. Give me 30 minutes. What? You got friends who are at the top of the list of number one bad people, too.
So
does this surprise you that John's got friends who make comments like that?
No. I mean, they're probably on their second wife and already tired of her. which is understandable.
No.
So they're like, look.
Don't say anything, Chaz.
No. Well, it's usually if it's the first wipe you need that.
Well, that's not a surprise either. But, hey, look, this woman's been siphoning my soul and my money for years now. I'm just going to have to go.
That's not what marriage is all the time.
Then why?
Sometimes it's a partnership between two people who love each other.
Then why
with
are your
money
buddies
siphoning?
Then why are your buddies having road games?
Well, no, my buddy, he obviously had issues with his marriage. No, there's no question. So let me ask you this.
Does he wait for the schedule to come out every year?
No, I think he...
Oh, look what's on Christmas morn. Look what's on...
Pretty sure it's a fluid schedule. Okay. It's not a balanced schedule either.
Oh, what are they called?
It's not really balanced.
What are the late games, the late in the season in football, what are they called? Yeah, does he have a flex schedule? Oh, we got flexed to Thursday game.
And you listen, and there's not nearly as many home games as road games, okay? So it's not a balanced schedule.
No.
Okay? So let me ask you guys this question.
I prefer road games with the wife when it's road games and there's no doorknob blockers.
Right.
I prefer going on the... I like playing in Jerry World, basically.
Lance, I said this was a friend. It wasn't me. It's a friend that said this. Okay.
Yeah, I like playing Jerry World.
And it wasn't
stuff.
You. You weren't the friend that said that.
No.
Yeah.
I like I'm just saying, I like road games with the wife.
Right.
It's always better than the home games with the wife.
Oh, it's always. Yeah. Even when the kids are gone, it's fun. Okay?
Hotel-wise, the hotels are where it's
so
at.
You like neutral site games?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And even home games,
you're looking for
the crowd not to show up.
You're looking for a sparse stadium.
Sparsely.
Yeah.
Always hoping that
you're on the road at Rice.
He would be fine if he's home at Rice. He's like, man, I envy those Rice crowds.
I know. I think I've got more people. I think I've got more people outside waiting to get into the stadium than at Rice. This is not good. Let's get it going, Bloomgren.
So let me ask you guys this question.
There you go, Crystal. We covered the sexual. Yeah. you wanted
Crystal
that
said, please,
right
please,
away.
Please,
there
please,
you
please.
Go.
There you go, Crystal.
Hope you're happy, Crystal.
Please, she gave us five pleases. Will you please cover this? So let me ask you guys this: Is there no? It was so dumb. I mean, and let's hear from AJ after the game. For those of you who don't know, the Astros lost 2-1 last night. Justin Verlander gives up two hits and was perfect outside of that. Not a walk, not a hit pass, but nothing. Not a guy reaches base. And two hits, two homers, they lose 2-1. They also, in the eighth inning, got two guys thrown out at third base to end the inning. That is a mortal sin in baseball. A mortal sin. You don't, especially... Altuve is on first base. He's stealing second. Ground ball to short. He can't get him at second. He throws to first. Altuve keeps on going, tries to get to third base with two outs and Yordan coming up. He gets thrown out at third. Barely, but he got thrown out. Then Chirinos with two outs in the ninth. Boom, hits one into right center off the wall. He keeps on running, gets thrown out at third base with Michael Brantley on deck.
The professional hitter. What are you doing? That is the dumbest. Kangaroo Court should fine him $400,000.
It was not even close. It wasn't even close, and he gets thrown out at third base. What is wrong? You can score from second. You're already in scoring position. You never get thrown out. Never the first or third out at third base. This is what you learn when you are in Little League.
Nah, Trinos is like, how big is our lead in this division? 8? Am I ever going to have a chance at another cycle again? Give me that cycle,
I mean, he's
son.
Chasing a cycle.
Who cares?
He's chasing a cycle.
No, he doesn't. Go listen to him after
this?
The game.
How about this?
For people, he did not. I saw people talking about, well, he's just selfish trying to get the cycle. He did not think 1 second about the cycle. Not one freaking second. After the game.
What?
No, not in the least.
Why do you think he wasn't thinking about the cycle?
He was thinking about getting to third base to help his team win.
You can get to second base and help your team win.
Well, but here's the deal. He's slower. He might think, I can get to third base and score.
How about a pinch runner?
Well, no, right. Absolutely. Listen.
You honestly don't think that was about the cycle?
There is absolutely no chance it was about the cycle.
Why do you think there's no chance?
Because he's trying to win. Because there's two outs in the ninth of a one-run game that he just caught one of the greatest pitchers. He's trying to help that guy win. He does not give a rat's ass about the cycle.
I get it, but you can still win from second.
I understand that.
Especially here so comes could Jose Miles
Altuve.
Strong.
Did Jose Altuve care about what? Getting to third base on a ground ball? No, he was trying to make a play. So was Chirinos.
I just don't see how that play is going to benefit you enough. What are you waiting for a sack fly gun?
I agree 1,000%. It's just dumb. It was dumb.
It was so if you,
okay,
stupid.
We got Chirino sound too. I'll put a Chirino sound up here. I want you to tell me that he thinks that he was worried about the cycle.
Why? There's no way he would say that out loud with a human
There's
breath.
No, as contrite and bad as he felt, it did, had nothing to do with
I'd
the cycle.
I'd feel bad too if I tried to go for a cycle and got thrown out by a zillion miles. My neighbor Rob, he texted me, and I was thinking the same thing. This is the text I got last night when it went down. Rob's like, "That was the dumbest, most chasing the cycle thing I've ever seen with Brantley on deck.
No chance.
And from a catcher, Jesus.
No, there's no like, chance exactly. That was about chasing the cycle. Zero chance. They're both trying to make a play. How do you explain Altuve then? He was trying to advance two bases on a ground ball so he could be in the record books? What? He's trying to make a stupid play. They're both trying to make stupid plays.
Well, one guy is a perennial, you know, top player in baseball. The other guy is like...
Is Altuve.
Is... No, the other guy's Chirinos.
Okay, so here we go. Here's A.J. Hinch afterwards.
You know, if Rodriguez throws the ball over the third baseman's head, we're applauding Altuve for being aggressive and scoring a potentially important run. So it's all result-oriented, but I understand kind of where these guys are coming from. When you have a game like this, JV's pitching his tail off. We're trying to do as much as we can. But when the result happens like that, it sucks. And we'd like to get him back.
Okay, so at the beginning, AJ did not like it more than that. It almost sounded like AJ was okay with it in that soundbite. Before that, do you have the whole thing? It sucks and you want it back. But even still, he was like, that's not a play that you're supposed to make. So it almost seemed like in the post game, after the game, him saying that right there, that's where Baker Mayfield got in trouble. You know what? You can pick the quotes that you want, okay? That's where Baker got in trouble. As opposed to saying,
I didn't think he sounded thrilled with it there.
No, he wasn't thrilled with it, but it almost sounds like he's, you know, he's entitling, it's okay. No, it's really not okay.
No, it's not.
It's not okay. It was, that's bad, bad baseball. But I'm going to tell you this. This is not unusual. I mean, A.J. Hinch is the best manager in Astros history. He is awesome. You can't think of, he's one of the top managers in baseball. They have been a bad, bad base running team ever since. I mean, for as long as I can remember.
Yep.
As long as I can remember.
And they're so good at so many areas. It's crazy that this has been the area that they just haven't been good at.
No. Although it has been curtailed this year. We really haven't been talking about their bad base running nearly as much this year. They have been really, really, really bad before. This year, not as much. Last night, horrible. That's horrible.
Hold on.
You don't take the bat out of Yordan's hands and Brantley's hands.
No, it's stupid.
To try to grab an extra base.
Where are we? There it is. So what was Verlander last night? What was he laying? This is two straight games. He's been in the 400s.
Well,
was he in the 400s, 500s?
This one was even a bigger one than his last start.
Yeah, he's
Baltimore.
Lost two straight. One where he was in the 400s,
well,
and this one
it,
I think he was in the 500s.
Yeah, the team
lost.
Well,
you lost if you played him. Yeah.
Yeah. This one was historically the worst beat.
In the history of baseball,
in 15
I think.
Years. No, in 15 years.
That's it?
Yeah. I got it right here.
Yeah, tell me what was worse, because there have been only just a few that have even been in the 400s.
For the second time in 2 weeks, the Astros lost in historic favorites. Despite closing as 435 underdogs at Caesars Sportsbook and managing only two hits off Verlander, visiting Tigers pulled off the largest upset in the majors over the past 15 years, according to sports betting database, BetLabSports.com. So, yeah, they were 435 favorites. Last week, they were 390 favorites.
Huh.
That's unbelievable. Last in 15 years. That's just and Verlander's. You know what? But a lot of people were. I was listening to Fred and AJ, and they were like, "Should we take the Tigers? The Tigers minus two runs or minus a run and a half were like 700 something. And that means if you bet a dollar, you get $7 back. This means, this 435 means if you bet a dollar, you get $4.35 back, which is a huge, in baseball, that's it's huge. You don't see that kind of favorite. But the Tigers are the worst team in baseball, and you, and it's Justin Verlander. Unbelievable. Okay, we got to talk about Nick's place. 2713 Rocky Ridge. We were there, my wife and I. We went for some Friday. We went over there, had some food, sat outside on the patio. It was just awesome. Listen, every game you could possibly want. The football season is here. If you're looking for the perfect place to go and watch all your college and pro football, because he'll get every – there is – I've been to – I can't tell you how many sports bars I've been to. There is nobody better at the TVs. How aggravating is it when you want to watch a game and the person behind the bar or the waitress or whomever, they don't know how to get a game on and they don't care. They're like, yeah, we'll get to that. No, I want to watch my game now. No. I want to watch my game. And Nick's place, they're the best. He trains every one of his people to TV sports book. Sports is all important, and they're the best at it. The food is excellent, everything about it. Now, he's doing a little remodeling before this football season starts, so get ready. It's going to be different. It's going to be better. It doesn't get any better than this. It's one of, if not the best places to watch your games in the city of Houston. So you're looking for a place to go to watch your games? Nick's place. 2713 Rocky Ridge. We'll be there next Friday, kicking it off all this football season at Nick's place.
I tried on my own. I think that was the mistake I made running the bases. I should have looked to Gary and Terry, and I was running with my head down. So that's the mistake you make when you don't look to Terry. That was back base running for us. I mean, the eight Jose Chu to go to third base, and I did the same in the ninth inning, especially being the last out of the game. So when you make a mistake like that, I mean, you don't deserve to win a game.
Yep, just a mistake. I mean, and they both admit it, just a mistake. And he had said also, I think at some point he said, it was my fault. It's my fault we lost. He was 4-for-4. With a homer and a couple of doubles.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his fault they lost. What if he had said, you got, you know, this is a problem with Justin Verlander. What if he had called out?
Well, hey, you know, maybe if he don't give up two homers.
You look, and let's do the math on this. two runs, I have 4 hits, 4-2. Chirinos over Verlander. That's the truth. You know, so JV's got to be better. He's got to be better. What? Hey, what's he saying? What? Verlander, don't worry about it. Stop giving up home run. What?
That would have been something if he said
he
that.
He just popped out with.
How funny would that have
been?
Well,
I mean, you know, that guy's been giving up home run all year. He's been a big problem. I would not give him a Cy Young vote. He hasn't fixed the problem.
Then maybe hit it.
I don't know. I'm busy going 4-for-4. I don't know. I can't hear anything. Too many hits in my ear. Like the bat.
The crack of the bat.
The crack of the bat.
Deafened me. Yeah. I can't hear what's going on.
It's more difficult to hear because the crack of the bat hit my ear so bad.
But I want to ask you this. His homer, holy crap. It was crushed.
Yeah.
And you can say all you want. I know Correa's in Baltimore was. I don't know that ball would have ever freaking, if it wasn't for those tracks, you can't tell me that's got to be 400 or 500 feet. That's got to be.
I swear Yordan's had the biggest bomb. I don't know that it came out that way, but Yordan.
It was in Baltimore.
Was it Yordan in Baltimore? That was it where I was like, that's. And that whole series, the Astros were hitting the longest home runs I've ever seen. It was like a home run derby.
They said Correa's was further.
Yeah, they said 474. I thought Yordan's is 600.
Yeah.
No, I was like, this honestly is the longest I've ever, this is the hardest I've ever seen a ball hit.
But I don't know. Like Chirinos is still going up, and they, oh, well, it hit right there, so that's how far it is. No, it's not. How far would it have gone if there was no railroad tracks or glass back there?
Right.
Good Lord. Anyway.
What are your thoughts on J.D. Davis?
That was a crap. I don't want to even talk about J.D. Davis. J.D. Davis has an 888 OPS. He's winning freaking games for the Mets. The Mets are thrilled the Astros gave up J.D. Davis. His slugging is 570 something.
How did they get J.D.? What happened there with J.D. Davis? What
am I think they just let him go or something. I don't know. Did they run out of options on J.D.?
It must have been.
Go look up J.D. Davis.
It must have been. Traded.
Who'd they get in return for J.D. Davis?
Traded by the Astros with Cody Bahanek to the Mets for Ross Adolph, Scott Manea, and Luis Santana.
Well, they were out of options for J.D. Davis.
It's just minors for minors.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, he was not a good Astro.
I hope Scott Manea is good.
Hey, if your name is J.D., just don't trade him anymore, Astros. Don't trade J.D.'s.
No.
Davis, Martinez, just nobody with the J.D. gets traded anymore.
Oh, J.D. Clowney? Ooh.
Thought about
that. The third J.D. to get traded?
Wow, maybe.
J.D.'s coming threes, bro.
Oh, that's true. J.D.'s do come in three. I would not. Yeah, maybe you don't trade Clowney now. You can't trade Clowney.
How do you feel about that?
I saw Bill O'Brien for the first time.
What did Bill say?
Well, I was out with, he goes, hey, what's going on, Lance? I said, hey, what's up, coach? I thought he was going to say, you got something to say about Duke Johnson trade or what? What do you got? I was waiting for him to, he didn't say anything. He seemed genuinely super excited to see me. He was very happy. I took Mary, the intern, out. She met Amy Palchik, and all the media staff was fantastic. PR. They all came over and talked to Mary, like four different people.
You're the new John McClane, taking young girls out to practice. Yeah,
I'm not the new John McClane. I think Mary has talent. I think Mary could actually thrive in that business. And I think Amy thinks so too. So good for Mary.
Yeah, Mary. Mary's awesome.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And so Mary, the intern, it was her last day, so I wanted her to do something, you know, meaningful, because she's had a great attitude, great personality here. A lot of the interns don't get to do a whole lot of stuff.
Okay, no, they don't. But, well, what about Brock? Where'd you take him?
Brock's on his own.
What do you mean Brock's on his own?
Brock's one of your crew.
Well, yeah, why don't you take Brock?
Because I didn't go to practice.
Brock's under the Granada tree of interns.
Yeah, he's your tree.
Why you got to claim him? Why didn't you take Juby somewhere, Del?
She's never here. Where would she go?
That's your tree too.
Yeah, you could have gone to Baton Rouge to see her and taken her somewhere.
That's weird. Why would I do that?
It seems like all the white interns are jealous.
Oh, you've noticed?
Whose is this one? That's John's. Do you go to school? Episcopal Cade. It's not, like a combination of Kincaid, Episcopal, and we go to St. John's. Episcopal we Cade. Go to St. John's for lunch.
Now you can't even use the white interns.
Two chefs come in and cater us.
All the white interns who barely do any work. Those are John's interns.
Because I'm not going to crush every white intern and say they're John's.
No, but Brock knows a lot of sports.
Brock's a pitcher at Centenary.
Yeah. But.
No, it's not Brock. Who's he? Oh, no, Friday is him. Is he yours too?
Yeah, Friday. Yeah, it's mine.
Of course, Friday's mine. Yeah. Well, he's a sharp sports kid, though.
He knows a lot of sports kid.
Yeah.
He goes to ASU, goes to Arizona State.
Yeah, he strikes me as a guy.
You know how smart you are to go to Arizona State?
It's not the hardest school to go to.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how smart you are to go to Arizona State.
How street smart you are.
Yes.
Calling all white interns who know John. If you want to have an internship that doesn't require you to work, and maybe you don't even show up when you don't want to, John will get you in.
And what's your point? What's your point?
Well, it annoys all the people, you know, who have to work.
I'm glad. You're annoyed? I'm glad.
It's not
now,
just me.
Now it was a successful intern.
They don't screw me over. They screw everybody over.
No. They made you mad? I'm glad.
It doesn't make me mad.
Yeah, aggravated you.
Tyler probably hates John.
You had to answer the
Tyler's
phone.
Tyler hates John.
Because
right
he
now.
Has to make up for it.
Do I have to give a go-ahead to every single person that comes in and say they know John? Is this a yeah? I mean, I can say no, right?
Pretty much.
Because he has to make the schedule and have to plan for, well, this kid's not showing up today.
Listen, Chuby's the only no-show out of all of them. Okay, Charlie came every day. Friday, okay, Brock, they were here.
Brock was here every day? How many times was Brock here?
He wasn't on the schedule.
Well, because he didn't put any effort to get on the schedule.
Yeah, because you throw it
in
between.
I didn't say he was, you know.
You throw in between starts, Del. That guy was always throwing. He always had bullpen sessions. That's why Brock probably came.
Mary, how'd Mary work out?
She one of yours?
She is now.
No, she wasn't.
Well, actually, she's one of the Lances now.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
I get the hard workers. Alan is one of mine. I took Alan under my wing and taught. Now he's on the sales side. He was also a football player at Buffalo, University of Buffalo, and did some recruiting.
How did you take him under your wing, by the way?
Sharp, I brought him in, told him how you get into the business, what you do. Ask him. We spent about an hour talking. And I told him about the sales stuff. He went in, does sales stuff.
And all this charity work in an hour. well done.
You got to be efficient.
Now I got people who stick around who are getting jobs. Who are John's doing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, mine are
laying
going back
out
to
by
pitch
the side of the road like, wake up, get home.
Mine are, well, Juby's that. That's Juby.
You just took credit for the kid pitching. He was already doing that.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No.
He's going back to pitch at Centenary.
He's going to
pitch.
That's right. He's busy.
Did he get a scholarship there? Because of you?
Off this internship. Yeah.
Charlie's going back to high school.
Friday was in high school?
Friday, yeah. Friday. I mean, not Friday. Charlie.
Oh, Charlie.
Charlie's going back to high school.
Oh, yeah. As a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie's a girl.
She's a little young to be. Yeah.
Friday's a guy. Like, what? Just name. These names are all over the place.
Well, I'm sorry. Juby? Okay.
That's
a regular. That's a regular name.
For who? Who's that regular name for?
Or somebody off of, like, a Saturday cartoon from the 70s?
Okay, let's talk right now about Oops. Oops, steam cleaning.
Them to come do the porcelain in my house and see how they do.
I got to talk to Jason about that.
Yeah, talk to him because I really want to see how that works out because it's hard to.
Well, I thought you got your porcelain already done.
Yeah, but it's a different thing. This is something different.
No, it's
dirty. I want to see what it's like to steam clean it to see if that works better in certain high traffic areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like legitimately.
Yeah. Oh, no. All right. I'll talk to him. It's easy. All you have to do is call them. You know, they have a phone number.
Oh, yeah. I'll wait till you get to it.
Okay. Let's talk about Oops and them coming to your home and working on your porcelain because, yes, they can do that. And actually, I asked him about that. I asked Jason about that. We had lunch with he and Rosie, and it was awesome. And he said, yeah, I could have helped Lance. I wish he'd have called me. I could have taken care of all that business he had with his porcelain because that would I absolutely would have helped him out. But here's the deal is no matter what kind of floor you have, what kind of upholstery you have, what kind of stains you have, carpet, it doesn't matter. Oops uses their very hot steam, and it will get rid of all the fungi and the germs and mold spores and bacteria. And maybe it's been a while, and you're like, I don't know that this is salvageable. Well, it might be. As opposed to go see what it costs you to replace that carpeting or that flooring. You know what Lance spent on his flooring? Holy crap. See if Oops
this is the worst commercial ever.
Save it. Okay, so you don't spend all that money like Lance did. All you got to do is give them a call. They'll give you a free quote online or over the phone. 281-822-0561. Did you get that, Lance? 281-822-0561. Or go to oopssteam.com. They're the best. Not going to upsell you. You're going to get a 30-day warranty. Oopssteam.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You realize that after this homestand, there's only two homestands left this season.
Okay. It's almost winning time.
You really got to
start playing better baseball. I don't like losing to the
Tigers. No, they really haven't. Baltimore, they didn't look sharp. But Chicago was probably the worst series that they've had. Mm-hmm. They just looked terrible all the way around. Oakland, they did not look good. I mean, you're just barely beating and then losing to Detroit. No, they might need to play a much better brand of baseball. There's no question. And it's fine. You don't want to you know what? If you want to know the truth, I don't want them winning 12 straight right here. You know, get better as you go along here, and you know, so you're. This is the best place to trip up right now against Baltimore and Chicago and Detroit.
Is that such a thing? It's a good place to trip up against.
Well, you know, you're not going to play great baseball all the time. You know that it's too long. It's too long a season.
Don't you?
I want
like
them playing
don't...
their best ball heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't. I think you can beat those teams and still.
Well, they have been beating those teams. They've been won 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. They didn't beat.
What about the A's? Can you beat them?
Yeah, you can beat the A's. Yeah, come on. You've destroyed the A's this year.
I know. Can we just start doing it now too?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, we'll find out this week, won't we? Yeah, that's right. Let's go. It's time. Time to beat their ass now. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Well, we'll find out in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. David is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, David?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just find it odd that Jose Altuve gets zero criticism. And, you know, you'll have Mrisnik have a bad day and people want to trade him, or, you know, all the AAA players, you know, when they have bad games, they want to get rid of them. Jose Altuve is not perfect. He leads. He always leads in hitting into double plays. He's horrible at taking throws to second base and tagging. He always reaches. He's not perfect. And, you know, even Lance excused him. Well, you know, it's not really his fault. Yeah, he sets the tone. He's the MVP, candidate. He sets the tone. And I find it, you know, like Houston fans are like parents where the kids are idiots and they still, you know, fill them full of, aspirations and won't criticize anything. I just think it's weird. And I'll hang up and listen.
Well,
I think
your call is weird.
I just think it's complaining. I've got no problem with calling out Altuve if he's playing. And you're right. I mean,
no, he's not.
He can be called out for that individual running
Jose
mistake.
Jose Altuve is perfect, so I don't want to hear anymore.
I mean, first to third, his running errors, I mean, he's not perfect either. But to compare, I would do better than Altuve and Mrisnik as comparison pieces. I don't feel like those are great comparison pieces. People jump on Jake Mrisnik when he strikes out a 270 times out of 300 at bats, but you don't get mad at Jose Altuve for the way he takes the ball at second base where he reaches too much. Like, what? Get something, do something else. Come with something else. What about a different person?
Yeah. Nobody gets
I'm open for you to criticize. Let's not do it as Jake Mrisnik.
Right.
Let's not do that one.
Nobody yells at Mike Trout when he gets thrown out at second
steal. Now, you know what would have been a better call, Dave? David. You know what would have been a better call, David, is if you had said something like this. Why do you guys excuse Altuve's mistakes but not James Harden? That would have been a more fair call. I mean, we would have got into postseason stuff and all that, but that would have been a more fair call. You could have said, why does James take so much crap but Altuve doesn't?
Truth be told, Jose Altuve's postseason has not been great.
No, he had the fantastic Boston
series.
But no, and that's what I'm saying. That could have been a better argument. Could have been a better argument. Not Jake Mrisnik. You would have to go cross sport for you to find the inconsistencies, I think.
Yeah,
make more sense for the
First of all, Jose Altuve, if you're going to make the James Harden comparison, Jose Altuve's won a championship. Okay. And granted, it wasn't on him. He didn't put the team on his back, though. But you know what? It would have been better off if James didn't put the team on his back and let other people do a lot of other things, and maybe they would have been better off as opposed to him missing in critical shots. Jose Altuve makes mistakes. When we pointed it out, he can't do that. He can't do what he did.
Well, I kind of excuse it away because I don't like comparing Chirinos to Altuve either.
Well, it's not comparing.
I know.
Jose Altuve made a mistake.
That's why I think it's fair to criticize me about that.
No, we said it, but what are you going to do? I mean, Jose Altuve is, and what are you going to do about Chirinos? Oh, well, he's your best catcher, and he had four hits last night, and he screwed up. He screwed up. And now, here's where you got to – here, to me, is where you got to criticize. Is A.J. Hinch going in there and saying, guys, you can't do that? Or is he saying – well, they're trying to make a play. They're being aggressive.
No, I think based on his commentary, I think he said
something.
Oh,
I don't know that he told his guys that.
Because
again, they have been a poor, poor base running team, and that hasn't changed. I mean,
you don't think AJ brings that stuff up?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I do know this, that it's very difficult when you're the manager of major league guys with $30 million guys to go in there and say, hey, listen. You can't do that. And again, he wants them to be aggressive and sometimes too aggressive, but he needs to tell them that's unacceptable. You can't get thrown out at third. Guys, you have to play smarter than that. You got to play smart. You want to be aggressive, but you also want to play smart. You have to. And he has to point that out. To me, that's more of a manager thing. And by the way, again, this team has not been a smart base running team his entire tenure.
No, no, and that's true. And, you know, it's one of those things where I just feel like that's on the play. You can really pound it into the players and say you got to do this, that. But in the heat of the moment, they've got to react and respond accordingly.
But
some of it's going to be on base coaches. Some are on base coaches, some are not.
To me, this is likened to a let's say, a running back in the final minute of a game trying to get that extra yard and not going out of bounds. It's like, no, guys, you got to play smarter. You got to be smarter than that. That extra yard doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't. Even if you get that first down, it doesn't mean anything because the clock is still running. Remember when Deshaun was holding the ball on the last play of the game and then finally threw it short and the clock ran out and he was like, well, I'm just trying to make a play. No. That's not the goal here, just trying to make a play. The goal is to play smart and try to win the game. You have to this is a teaching moment for AJ. And these guys are freaking major leaguers and great MVP that makes a silly little league mistake. That was a silly little league mistake.
Yeah, no, that's true. That can't be excused away. I mean, but it also can't be lingered on forever.
No.
David sounds like a guy who's been, this is boiling up where he's pissed off that Altuve doesn't take more crap. Like, I don't know how much he takes. But then again, I feel like sometimes James Harden takes too much crap. For as great as he is, I get that there are some people who don't like him on a personal level. But as a great player, I mean, he's just a great, great, great player. At some point, you kind of have to back off the guys that are getting you all those wins a little bit, because the postseason's where they're going to take all their credit. And that's where James, I don't have a problem with 82-game James. Postseason, small pockets, when you get the $40 million, when you are the superstar, a lot of the blame will be placed on your shoulders.
You don't have a problem with 2 or 3 turnover James in the final 5 minutes of a game?
No, postseason, yeah.
No, even regular season.
I mean, look, he's going to – here's the difference.
As careless as he is with the ball sometimes.
He's going to handle the ball. Jose Altuve has 5 at-bats at most, and he'll have a couple of plays in the field. Of course it's easier for Jose Altuve to hide from. James Harden, basketball is a game of more mistakes.
Well, absolutely.
So it's easier to criticize.
But there are guys that make fewer mistakes. I mean, and sometimes it's laissez-faire, so careless with the basketball.
Does James shoot?
That is aggravating to me. Maybe it doesn't aggravate you, but it aggravates me.
No, it's aggravated me forever, but that's also the, you know, it's like saying you're not aggravated by Craig Biggio swinging at all the down-and-away sliders. Of course, but you can't just talk about it all the time.
No,
Craig Biggio is a Hall of Famer. James is a Hall of Famer.
And
does
again,
James shoot 306. Well,
my point about AJ is you can't ignore it, and you can't just say, "Oh, it's okay." Well, there might, you know, you have to. It has to be. You don't harp on it, but it has to be a learning moment.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously, and if they haven't learned now, they're probably not going to.
No, probably not.
They're not a great base running team.
Afterwards, I just started pounding some Coors Lights, and then what do I need to do? Take some cheers. Cheershealth.com. They've got a free sample for you. All you have to do is go to cheershealth.com and find out. You can get a free sample. Well, it's $1 because you need to send for postage, $1. So you get to try it. And you may be like, oh, I don't know. Listen, if even if you have just a couple of glasses of wine and it prevents you from having those wines because you don't want to feel, you know, you want to feel good the next day. Well, okay, you want to feel great the next day. Well, then that's what Cheers Health is for. And if you do imbibe, we're not telling you go and binge drink. None of that. But if you do have a couple more than you should have, you want to feel better the next day. You want to be productive at work or where at play. You got to golf, whatever it is. You want to feel better the next day. And it does. Because these are scientists and doctors and Ivy Leaguers that have put this together. And it not only helps you feel better the next day, it also helps your liver regenerate and do all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to try to explain it because I'm not smart enough. But here's the deal, is you just feel better. You want to feel better? CheersHealth.com. So you have a couple too many, CheersHealth.com. That's CheersHealth.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. John, I know you're not naive. That had going for the cycle written all over it. Nope, JD, you're wrong. Chirinos was chasing the cycle is a Skip Bayless kind of argument. Anytime you're on the same side as Skip, you're on the wrong side. That there is absolutely no chance he cared about getting a triple. Zero. Zero chance he cared about getting a triple. He's trying to win a ball game. He's 4 for 4. He's catching Verlander. Everybody was fighting as hard as they could to get Verlander a win there. And just the opposite happened. They were over-aggressive. There is zero chance. That dude was so remorseful after the game, and it wasn't about. It had nothing to do with trying to get a cycle. I mean, guys who are trying to win games don't think about that crap. Now, if it's a 10-1 game, okay. But a one-run game in the ninth with two outs, zero chance.
10-1 game, I'm not caring.
No, but they care. That's when you care about a cycle. That's the only time you care about a cycle.
I don't care as a fan or a player. Like you never ever make the last out of
third. ESPN still. If you hit for the cycle in an 11-1 game, let's just last week there was, oh, and he hits for the cycle here. ESPN will put you on.
You never right, but you never make the last out of third.
Never. I mean, and they did it back to back innings. Good Lord.
I know. In bad situations too.
Right.
Like Altuve wasn't. You know why you don't make the you know why? Because you can score from second on a base hit. That's why. And Jose Altuve can score from second on a base hit. Chirinos can be pinch run for
And Reddick would, is and would on the have bench.
Been who was on the bench
because
you had Straw. Yeah, Reddick would have pinch run for you. Yeah. Reddick would have pinch run for you. So you could have had Reddick and then you have just guys who can rake up next. So with Brantley waiting to drive you in and tie the game up, It's just so stupid. But he said it was dumb. I mean, Chirinos admitted it, and so did. And AJ was like, "That sucks when you have that happen," and blah blah blah. You wish you could get that back. He goes, "I can't remember last time I saw it." Like AJ, that's what I don't know. We didn't play unless he just played it. That's what we heard the sound.
Yeah, the beginning
like,
of it.
I don't. His I can't
very,
remember
the very beginning of his press conference was like. Wow,
I can't remember what last
that was
happened.
Terrible.
So I was out at Texans practice. Bill O'Brien. So I was talking to Mary. I was you know, introduced her to all the people. Mary's one of our interns. It was her last day, and I was introducing her to the media relations staff and things like that because she's got a major in journalism and then a minor in cinema. I think she wants to. Basically, she set up to be a movie critic, but instead she wants to get into sports. So anyway, Bill O'Brien came up, and I mean, this was the friendly version of Bill O'Brien. Great mood. And I told her, I said, okay, this was 10. This is Bill at a 10,
mm-hmm.
Coach O'Brien. I said, you know, I said, this is where this media.
You introduced her to Bill?
No. But as he was talking.
You were just.
After we were done, I said, okay, you see.
You were just being rude?
That's not necessarily normal.
Del, would you have introduced Bill to her if Bill came up? Hey, what's up, buddy?
He didn't do that. No, he was standing there with all the media was around and he was getting ready to ask his questions. He just saw me walk up. He goes, hey, Lance. I said, how you doing, coach? That was it.
And then I would have said, hey, I want you to meet Mary.
Nah, he's got stuff to do. But I did tell Mary, I said, so you'll know, generally, you know before he even gives the first answer. You 100% will know what you're dealing with after the first answer. And you have to move. Proceed forward accordingly based on where you read get a read of coach before, and it'll maybe change some of the questions you can ask. You can ask a little more in-depth questions. Your answers will be better too. And we were talking about, and then Amy was telling her about how the media, you know, how they have to, you know, every once in a while you have to step in with the media. And we were talking about, you know, I think their idea is, and it probably is, it actually is like that, because I was at 790, we were media partners, right, with the Rockets and Astros. Now, truth be told, and I want to give the Texans some credit for this. I want to see what you think. Now, you worked for the Texans. How long were you with Texans? For 5 years. They came into existence in 2002. The entire time that I've been doing radio, which is since they started, and you too, I haven't really heard from the Texans a whole lot in terms of being upset with anything that was said. Now, we were at 610 only from 2002 to 2007
right.
with the Texans being there. But I really haven't heard a whole lot. Like, they typically...
the only...
What?
When they came out with that high school fight song. I heard from them.
Were we at 610 or here?
Anyone have that? Because I want to play
We were at 610, yeah.
No, yeah. I heard from Jamie. But no, as far as... No. I know...
I think they're pretty good about not messing with...
Bob McNair, now, during a two-win season, their first two-win season, Bob McNair got on. Well, and I thought... And I talked to Mark about it last week, because I remember a couple weeks ago in Green Bay. I was like, I remember when Bob came up to you and said, you know, hey, Mark, you're being hard on the team. And Mark was like, what? I couldn't. What? I've been what?
He's so scared.
He was like, "Oh my god, I'm so easy on him."
Well, that is the owner talking to the
the play-by-play guy.
That's your only job.
Yeah.
And for the owner,
No. He had the afternoon show, so that made it very tough on Mark.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right.
He was on with Rich
Lord.
Oh,
that's an impossible. Yeah, that's an impossible.
It's impossible
deal.
To be.
What did you hear? Did you ever hear from them?
They've never heard me say one
stuff?
Time. Not one time.
They've been good. I just want to point that out. They've been good. And, you know, the Astros really have not been. I mean, Milo was mad that he didn't like some of the language we used, but he's not really. He wasn't the Astros.
He didn't like what we said about him.
But they've actually not been. The Rockets have been a little sensitive at times, but they don't mess with me per se too much. But they mess with other people that I know of a little bit. But I do think it's interesting. This whole idea.
I've never gotten a call from the Rockets. Well, one time.
Yes,
the Rockets.
You did. You got a text.
One call. Yeah. No, I got a call. Oh. Rockets with James Harden and Moses Mullen Jr. thing.
Right.
That's it. But that's it. But that's not basketball related. All these teams are able to take the criticism.
I got one from,
now,
from Tony
do
Wiley.
Do they like us? Sometimes, no.
I don't know.
No.
I can't worry about that, or we can't do our job. Like, I can't worry about if a team likes. I mean, I just want to be fair, but we got to be able to joke around. Yeah. That's our style. So we do. And you know what? I'm not. That's why I'd rather not be best friends with all the people or the organizations. I mean, as long as they think you're fair about stuff, as long as you'll.
But they don't. They think, well, that's stupid, or you guys have the wrong opinion, or whatever. And that's fine.
I'm fine with that.
Fine.
As long as they recognize that we, when they're doing well, we say they're doing well.
Right, but you got a call last year, and you know what? I thought we were pretty fair with the Texans. I was optimistic with the Texans last year. They were an 11-win team, mm-hmm. and we were still like, yeah. And you know, it's hard to win football games in the NFL. But we were a lot more optimistic than most people were.
We're trying to enjoy the wins. Yeah. It wasn't that I didn't think the Texans were going to.
No.
You're talking about Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think the Texans were going anywhere.
But you talked to somebody over there that said, wow, this city is so down on us, even though we've got all these wins. But. I guess everybody saw, you know what?
It was kind of true, though.
If you're inside of it, you know, you're winning football games, it's all great. But when you look at it objectively, there wasn't a great football team.
It was, I don't want to say it was smoke and mirrors because you were winning the games. I mean, you it's not like, look, if it were easy to win games, a lot of average teams would win 11 games, 10, 11 games. It's not easy. It's not easy to win that many. But their faults got really bad by the end of the year. Like, their coverages were really... By the end of the year, it was really, really bad.
Really?
It got progressively worse over the course of the season. When we come back, I want to get into... I was talking to some other people there at practice, got some other perspectives and opinions on roster. And I want to... And Bill O'Brien was asked some questions as well about the roster. And I want to get into that when we come back.
We'll do that when we get back. But right now, we're talking about marble. We're talking about granite. We're talking about tile. We're talking about Jeff Aronoff making your home or your business worth more. This is the biggest investment of your life, your home. More than likely, I would think. And if, in fact, you don't do anything, you don't upgrade, you don't replace when things are broken, when things don't look good, you don't add to your home, you don't add to the value of your home. When you do sell it, guess what happens? You don't get money. Okay, so, I mean, it's pretty damn simple. When we had the house... We added an entire outdoor kitchen out there with pool, and it was and you know what, it helped sell. My goodness, if you don't do that, and it's just you know, and you just let it go. Granted, you'll keep it up, you'll clean whatever. But if you don't add to it, if you don't make it look better, you don't put some money into it, you're not getting your money out. And Jeff Aronoff does this every day, and he'll put in that countertop or vanity or fireplace or whatever it is that you need put in. It's big jobs at your business or your home. Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite, and trust me, it looks and. What they're doing now and how nice this stuff is, you will be amazed, and you'll say you'll live in a different place. Give me a call, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.